नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This is text 2, fifth canto, chapter 1. Na nunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dviparshava griheshu abinesh abivish abiniveshu yam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshaba griheshu abiniveshu yam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabini neveshuyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam vidarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishinam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati. Ladies. Nanunam mukta sanganam tadrishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati nanunam mukta sanganam tvadishanam dvijarshava griheshvabiniveshoyam pungsam bhavitam arhati. Na, not. Nunam, certainly. Mukta Sanganam, who are free from attachment. Tadrishanam, such. Dvija Rishabha, O greatest of the Brahmanas. Griheshu, to family life. Abhini Veshaha, excessive attachment. Ayam, this. Pungsam, of persons. Bhavitam, to be. Arhati, is possible. The activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, fifth canto, chapter 1, text number 2. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the Brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that by executing devotional service to the Lord, one can understand the transcendental position of the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any other means except bhakti. The Lord confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya. Only by executing devotional service can one appreciate me. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55, the Lord says, Bhaktyamam abhijananti. Simply by discharging devotional service, one can understand me. Thus, for a bhakta to become attached to family affairs is impossible, since a bhakta and his associates are liberated. Everyone is searching after ananda, or bliss. But in the material world, there can never be any bliss. It is only possible in devotional service. Attachment for family affairs and devotional service are incompatible. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was somewhat surprised to hear that Maharaj Priyavrata was simultaneously attached to devotional service and to family life. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Krishna Twadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Adyaiva Me Visitu Manasaraja Hansan Prana Prayama Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantavaro Tanavido Smaranam Kataste. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the Brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. So this can be misunderstood, I guess, quite easily. It doesn't mean that one cannot be in family life, but to think it's all in all, to be totally absorbed and forget Krishna, that any ashram, any work is meant to help one to be able to execute devotional service. So this statement if somebody wanted to search and find out how many different places where Krishna says the exclusive power only by devotional service is one going to understand Krishna. Not by any other means. Lord Chaitanya stressed that by his own life and by his teachings. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. By yoga, mystic cities, or by trying to get liberation, or material, by certainly by material gain, bhukti, one will never be satisfied. But by bhakti, then sakala ashanta, he's always peaceful, because he connects with Krishna. So this is simply the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why we stress that. And of course, bhakti is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And hearing, not just chanting. But we have to work on hearing the holy name also. It's possible to be chanting, but the mind can still be hearing many other things. But when one comes to that proper stage of simply hearing the holy name, hearing the lila of Krishna, all these things are bhakti, talking about Krishna, chanting Krishna, and all kinds of other ways of serving Krishna, shravana kirtana smarana, remembering Krishna. If we're always chanting or always hearing about Krishna, then we're going to remember Krishna. That's normal. Whatever one hears, we remember. Now, if you go out and meet people, what are they going to be talking about? The inauguration, right? That'll be all anybody can think about, that, you know, for a day or two. Because they heard about it all day yesterday, everywhere you look. I was in the airport, you know, everywhere. All the internet. Like it never happened before. They want leadership. There's always leadership in the whole universe. There's Lord Brahma, then there's all the demigods. And we were reading yesterday how in different manvantaras and different personalities take all the roles of Indra and all the different demigods. I don't know how they get installed or inaugurated or what, but it's all planned out even ahead of time. It's not an election. But somehow or other, you know, due to someone's good qualities, they rise up. Krishna puts them in the position. And no matter how one gets put in a position of leadership, it's ultimately Krishna puts them there for whatever reason. Sometimes demons get in power, like Hiranyakasipu. And, you know, many people were suffering in the universe. You can't say, where was God? Why did he let this happen? Even when the demigods went to complain, Krishna said, yes, yeah, but you have to just be patient. I'll take care of it when the time comes. And he did. But still, again and again, demons come and somebody comes. And we saw in that history of the universe that, you know, different incarnations would come and kill all the rakshasas and yakshas, and then, you know, things get nice. But the main thing that really is that leaders are meant to make provisions that the citizens or whoever's under their protection, a king or a teacher or a parent. Rishabhdev is saying, don't become a teacher, don't become a guru, don't become a king, don't become a father or mother. If you can't deliver your dependents, if you can't give them Krishna consciousness, to somehow be making those arrangements. It's our duty also as leaders in society, being devotees, we're automatically leaders. And people look to follow. So we need to be helping, make arrangements to really protect the citizens, that people have a chance to render devotional service. That's why we have a temple. People can come and render service. If a neophyte person just simply comes and pays obeisances to the deity, then they're doing service, and it's very valuable. Or like we heard this morning, announcement, that if they just simply come to the restaurant, they take prasadam, and they think, oh, this tastes really nice, then they're doing service, and we should encourage them, right? We should be happy. They're making progress. Everybody makes progress on their own, you know, pace. We've seen some play, I guess people come in the restaurant for 20 years or something. Like that. That's as much as they want to do, but it adds up. And Krishna's, they're appreciating. Even homeless people on Food for Life, if they just get, if they appreciate the prasadam and the devotees, they make advancement. And they get elevated to some point. We've seen that many, many times. I was just in London. We meet many formerly homeless people there that say that, you know, the Hare Krishna food saved their life. You know, they were somehow in some kind of bad karma. They were homeless, but every day they were eating prasadam. And it changes their life, changes their consciousness. So Krishna says that, bhakti mama bijananti yavanyas chatmi tatvata. Only by devotional service can you know me as I am, standing here before you. Now the Mayavadis will say, well, Krishna doesn't mean him. Right? He means something else. But he says very clearly, I don't know if anybody's counted how many times in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says aham, or me, or, you know, me, my, I, right? Mine. So many times. He's talking about himself, that Krishna who's standing there in front of Arjuna, speaking, who's driving the chariot, who's dancing with the gopis, who's killing all the demons and wherever he goes, and reciprocating in different ways with different living entities according to what they want. Yayatamam prapadyate. And the demons, they want to fight, they want to kill Krishna, he fights with them. And the devotees want to serve Krishna, they want to be his parent, or they want to be his lover, or his friend, or whatever. Krishna reciprocates. But only by bhakti can one really know Krishna as he is. And Krishna is giving that bhakti, who he is. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12 is where it really starts, where he, you know, he describes bhakti and it being superior. And what kind of a devotee pleases Krishna. You know, and so many things are there. So we learn, then one has to approach a self-realized soul and learn what is bhakti, how to perform it, how to serve. Spiritual master like Prabhupada so kindly came and so patiently taught and set up so many temples and systems and gave so many books. So even reading the book, that's bhakti. Even just meeting a devotee, someone is fortunate enough to even meet a devotee, talk to a devotee, or Prabhupada, even if they touch the book. Of course, it's better if they take the book, and then once they take the book, we want them to read it. Hearing about Krishna is the essential bhakti that always has to be there, no matter what other process, whether we're serving the deity or making friends with Krishna, or, you know, whatever other service, offering prayers. In order to offer prayers to Krishna, we certainly have to hear about Krishna and know, you know, something about Krishna. And we're often just reciting prayers of the great acharyas, recommended to do like that. So we have to hear them. And then we remember Krishna. We often say, well, I can't remember, you know. But we're all remembering things constantly. I don't think anybody has Alzheimer's too seriously. I mean, we forget little things, but, you know, we remember a lot of things. And generally, we remember things that are not very Krishna conscious because we are so much filled up and polluted, and from every angle it's coming in our whole life. But the more we hear about Krishna, then we'll remember. And by speaking what we've heard, that helps us remember it. By teaching, is the it's analyzed by the whoever analyzes these things, that when you know, if you read something, hear something, you know, you remember a certain amount, on and on. But if you teach that thing, If you review it and if you teach it, then you remember much more. So Prabhupada, you know, he pushed us, go out and tell people about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, wherever you go, yare deke tare deke, Krishna upadesh, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. This way be a guru and save your land. The world is chaos. We'll find that, you know, mentioned throughout the Bhagavatam, that there's chaos. We don't have to watch CNN to find out that there's chaos in the world, right? That their way of life does not work. Their way of government is not making everyone happy. It is not solving all the, you know, the basic necessities of life. You just hear that more and more people are not getting, you know, the basic necessities. And what they're especially not getting is love. Yajnavalka, he said that the primary need of the human being is two things, is to give love and to be loved. So that's bhakti, ultimately. Because otherwise there's no real love without Krishna in the center. People may think, well, I love this or I love that. But it's not really love. They're just attached. So here it talks about detachment. Cannot be absorbed in family affairs. That means that, like the common man, they're just totally absorbed in their family affairs. As the all in all, there's nothing else in their life. A devotee, he may be looking like the same, having a nice family, but he's doing it out of duty as a service to Krishna. That Krishna gave him this family, this responsibility, so we have to take care. The mother takes care of the child. She can be a devotee, but it's not that she has to abandon the child or that a householder shouldn't work. A householder, I was trying to think about it because we had a lot of householders I was dealing with. That they would all say they don't like their job. So then they're not happy because they have to work. So I was thinking, I told them that you should think of your job. It's like for a householder, that's your tapasya. You know, you have to work. But if you're doing it for Krishna, if you're maintaining your house to, you know, to offer things to Krishna and to chant Hare Krishna and whenever you can invite people over for kirtan or something, then that's your tapasya and Krishna appreciates it. You should be happy because your work is providing that. If you don't work, you're not going to be able to do anything. You can't maintain. So they should be happy. A devotee should be happy no matter what, but not absorbed, you know, that I've got to get a bigger house and I've got to get all the designer clothes for the children and I've got to buy out Toys R Us and, you know, make my child happy, right? Children don't need that. They need love. Everybody needs love. There's so many songs and, you know, but they just don't know what love is. But Krishna loves everyone. Krishna had, you know, and he's just waiting for us to turn to him and give our love to him, and he can reciprocate properly. That state in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, that we're frustrated because we have a lot of love to give, but there's no one can properly reciprocate the love we're giving. People feel cheated all the time. They feel like I love, but I didn't get enough back. But if we give it to Krishna, then Krishna can give back unlimitedly more. He's given us this entire material world out of love, although it's full of suffering, and some people might blame him and say, well, why isn't it completely nice? The spiritual world is completely nice. There's no birth, there's no death, there's no old age, there's no disease. But we somehow rejected that, so he had to give us this world where there is all those things, but he also gives all the means to get out. He gives bhakti, and Lord Chaitanya is freely giving. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tvishe Namaha. Freely giving Krishna Prema. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he's asking for help to distribute it. He said, there's so many fruits of this love of Godhead. How can I do it myself? How can I distribute, Lord Chaitanya is saying, as a gardener, cultivating all these, you know, bhakti latas or whatever. And there's so many fruits of love of Godhead. So, how can I distribute them all myself? So he's asking everyone, he needs help. So he's giving us all that chance to join in and help to give Krishna, spread Krishna consciousness, try to do something to give people relief from the chaos of the material world, from being absorbed in, you know, all the chaos, which the CNN or the whoever you watch here, the people watch to get different versions of the world. You can get the American version on CNN, right? And you can get the British version on the BBC. And then there's another, what's that Arab one also? You can get the same news, but a completely different outlook. You can go to Israel and hear about, you know, what they're doing and how wonderful it is. And you can go to the other side and find out something different. Or you can read Srimad Bhagavatam and find out exactly what's going on. In the 12th canto, chapter 3, the description of Kali Yuga, then it tells us everything. You know, what is going on? What the politicians are, they're all corrupt. You know, they're expert at taxation. One of the main expertises of the government is taxation. Although they're always promising to reduce taxes, and they're sliding in other taxes very cleverly everywhere, and the people don't know. They're thinking, you know, that they're enjoying, like the casinos. That's a big tax, but they call it a voluntary tax. So the government lets people do that. Then they reduce some other tax, but really the total tax has gone up. And, you know, everything is like that. Kali Yuga, everything is described. You know, there'll be no sugar, no grains, you know, this will come. Now there's still more than enough of everything, but it doesn't get distributed to many people very nicely. And so people are experiencing floods and droughts and hot and cold, excessive heat, excessive cold. All these things are predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they're all due to everyone being surrendered to Kali and being absorbed in illicit sex and gambling, intoxication, animal slaughter. You know, all these things are being glorified. Atheism. In London now, the atheist made an advertising campaign on the... You read about that? On the buses. You know, they have those double-decker buses, so they all have big advertising. So it says, probably there's no God. So now enjoy life. And atheism.org or something. Humanism, you know, British or something. And there's three different web pages. And so what they wanted to say there is no God, but the advertising people told them that wouldn't go over very good. They would, you know, they would get ripped down really quick. So they had to say probably. So they got tricked, because probably there's no God and probably there is God also. But nobody can prove, even the big atheist, that he said no one can prove one way or the other, really. And that's true. It's a matter of faith, ultimately. But if one really practices surrendering to Krishna and following Bhagavad Gita and chanting the holy name and, you know, taking a guru and everything, then he'll understand there is Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself in so many different ways. And many people have that faith. They know there's God. The other people have faith. This particular atheist said that. I met someone who used to work with him in the university. He's a big professor in Oxford. And this professor was a philosophy professor. He was quite nice, although he was very academic about religion, but he was nice. And he said that if you look for a religious fanatic in the world, this particular atheist is a prime example. He's the most fanatic. He never give up trying to promote his atheism and show that he's the greatest authority on God because he knows there's no God. You know, so I know more about God than anyone else. And he's very famous. He's on the radio all the time. You know, he's a big professor at Oxford. He has so many books. And the bookstores promote them very in a special way, and they're number one sellers all over the world. So these people are working out, and devotees need to work also to give people the truth. People want Krishna. People are looking all over the world. They're desperate. They want pleasure. They want ananda. It says here that everyone is seeking after ananda or bliss. But the material world, there's never any bliss. But they promise bliss. I saw a mattress shop in Delhi. It was called the Ananda Mattress Shop. Very big bed, and the advertisement said 8 hours of bliss. Because I guess, you know, because people can't sleep, right? Yeah. Because of ecstasy, the devotees can't sleep. They just want to chant all the time, but the common men, their mind is so disturbed, they can't sleep. There's sleep clinics all over America. So it would be, they consider it bliss if you can sleep one night. And if you get this proper mattress, you'll be able to sleep. But that's not, we consider deep sleep is not bliss. That's tama, that's ignorance. Bliss means to be totally conscious and aware and, you know, realizing Krishna and remembering Krishna and hearing the holy name and the form and pastimes of Krishna, which are really blissful, which that's the nature of the soul is blissful. The soul is different than the mind, and the mind cannot be blissful. The body cannot be blissful. The earth, the water, and fire, air, and ether, they can't be blissful. The intelligence. The soul is blissful. So we have to somehow meditate on the soul, the qualities of the soul. And Bhagavad Gita tells us all these things. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the leelas of Krishna. And by just hearing them again and again, regularly, the soul wakes up more and more and experiences the bliss and then automatically wants to share it. Devotees, just like anybody, they want to share whatever they're into. For one reason or another, devotees they feel compassionate and they see that people are suffering in ignorance. They're looking for Krishna, and everywhere we'll find people that want Krishna. So we're very fortunate here. We have this very beautiful temple and deities. Hopefully, more and more people will come and take advantage of it, all the different aspects. If they, like we heard, if they just take some prasadam or if they buy something in the shop, then they're all making spiritual advancement and they're thinking of Krishna. And if they see the very blissful devotees, then they'll get curious, like, why are they so blissful? What is your secret? Right? Devotees are blissful because they're more aware of their spiritual nature and more connected and connected to Krishna, the Paramananda. Lord Nityananda is called Akrodha Paramananda. He never gets angry. The supreme blissful who never gets angry. He showed us by never got, even at Jagai and Madai, he never got angry with them. He had total love for them. He was trying to help them. So by his compassion, they changed. When Jagai saw that Lord Nityananda was stopping Lord Chaitanya from killing them, even though they tried to kill him, he had a change of heart. He said, wow, such a personality. How can anyone be like that? And then he got blessed. And then Jagai, he got envious and he said, what about me? Madai, what about me? What about me? And then Lord Chaitanya said, I can't help you because you've offended. He was the one who actually hit Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda said, you have to get mercy of him. So we asked him, and immediately Nityananda said yes, you know, and freed him from all the offensive, sinful activities he'd done and became great devotees. When Prabhupada here, when Gaura Nithai was installed, he said, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then he said, to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you need the mercy of Jagai and Madai. That means you have to get out, chant the holy name in public, meet people, tell them about Krishna, all the Jagai. He said, I'm not bragging, but all my disciples were Jagai and Madai. He said, in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was only two, but now everyone. Everyone is Jagai and Madai. So we go out. Devotees go to all kinds of places where all these people are. But they change when they hear about Krishna. They wake up. Some quickly, some slowly, but everyone's getting their benefit. I just heard about someone who found a book that their grandfather had and read it, became a devotee. We heard about people, their mother had it or something, their father, but even the grandfather. And we don't know how long books will stay somewhere and somebody will finally read it. People are getting purified all over the world by the Sankirtan movement. And we need to think of ways and means to spread the holy name and give it, like Srila Prabhupada, he was absorbed in compassion, love for everyone, and inspiring so many devotees then to get out and give Krishna, expose us, let people meet devotees, let people hear the holy name, do Rath Yatras or whatever it takes to attract people. Make more and more temples, more and more festivals, big or small, so that people have a chance to meet devotees. Or, you know, now we have the internet, people are, there's an average of 25 listeners by the internet. You have to speak in the microphone. How do we know it, how many are out there, though, right, on the internet? It's pretty hard to find out. And not only this class, but you know, classes from all over the world or all over the internet. So many people are hearing them and listening to them and, you know, getting contact with Krishna. So there's so many ways devotees are thinking of how to. But the point is, we want people ultimately to be able to actually meet a devotee and actually, you know, learn how to do bhakti, how to chant the holy name, how to render service, how to offer their food, how to, you know, all the different things that are very natural to do, but and have a book so they can practice hearing and chanting and remembering. If we try to talk about Krishna, we'll have to remember Krishna. That's like a natural thing. And remembering Leela Smarana is very powerful. So Krishna revealed so many wonderful Leelas that are not very hard to remember. And Lord Chaitanya's Leela is even more easy, more like easy to relate to for us. More, you know, Krishna would, sometimes people have trouble to believe in all the big demons and all the rakshasas and all that. But Krishna, Krishna can do anything. But Lord Chaitanya's Leela is so sweet. He's singing and dancing and chanting and going everywhere, and meeting Mayavadis, which are, you know, a normal thing to meet these days. So I thank you all very much for hanging in there and keeping this beautiful temple going, and all these deities and the rest, all the things going on here. It's very nice. We need it more and more all over the world, though. We want to get, you know, train people and send them out so that the whole world can get connected to Krishna, or we can sit here and go out also by internet or by so many different means. Television, radio, whatever way we can reach out and purify the atmosphere, the ether, with a proper sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will, you know, drive away all the rhetoric, all the babble, and all the things that are going on all over the world. I just saw some man set the record for talking. 124 hours, I think he talked, without stopping. Said he got in the Guinness Book of World Records. And he didn't talk about Krishna. He talked about things, but not Krishna. But he made it into the record book. we should, I guess, get people into the record book for chanting more japas or, you know, things that aren't there yet. Just do it, you know, having the longest kirtan or, you know, whatever. Put Krishna in the record book. So, any question or comments? Yes, sir? A microphone?
When you were referring to, in the beginning of your class, you were saying we should encourage, you know, people that come to the temple and newcomers that may come to the restaurant. This is in reference to devotees. We may be engaging some small amount of service, which is good, but at the same time, how do we avoid being, say, mediocre in our Krishna consciousness?
Hare Krishna. Well, we should appreciate any service anyone else does, but a devotee should naturally be thinking that, well, I have to do more. I haven't done anything. You know, when Narada Muni was in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was looking, you know, for whoever had the most mercy of Krishna. And finally he got to Dwarka and, you know, he was led to Uddhava. Then Uddhava told him about the gopis. And then he met Krishna. And Krishna asked for a benediction. So first he said, I'd like the benediction that a devotee will never be satisfied with his service. And Krishna said, you don't have to ask for that because that's the nature of a devotee. Greedy. You should be greedy for Krishna, though, like we see the materialists. They're so greedy for more and more sense gratification or more money or more this or more, you know, something. We should be like that for devotional service. We should be satisfied, yajischa labha santushto, with whatever comes automatically. That means materially, whatever material comforts come automatically, but not satisfied. Oh, yeah, I've done enough service. Yeah, you know, I've done enough now. You know, I've had my bath in the Ganga, Gaur Purnima, and I've circumvented. You know, I mean, we've done millions of things that every one of them says you go back to Godhead for that. You know, I followed the Ratiyatra cart. You know, but devotee just wants to do more and more and more, and you know, he gets more and more. And so, you know, and we have to find people who are like that, enthusiastic, and, you know, and try to serve them then if we're dragging along ourselves. Just pray. How to chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Archita.
Speaking of the internet, Maharaj, thank you for a very nice class. There was a young man on the internet right now. He wants to know, why should Krishna consciousness be practiced if nothing in the material world brings any bliss?
That's why it should be practiced. Because not in the material world. It's spiritual. So then, even though we're in the material world, and it becomes spiritual because it's used for Krishna. So the eating prasadam, that can be blissful. It's not collecting more and more sinful activities. Right? Is that all right? It's not. Of course, that's usually one will realize. Well, we get frustrated that, you know, we're not getting anywhere in the material world, that it's not really satisfying. There's some sort of realization comes, and that's for most people. That's what, you know, they start to look for something else. They look for spiritual things, and they look for some alternative to just trying to enjoy the material world, because it never satisfies. But if we practice Krishna consciousness, then we'll experience that it is satisfying, and it is, you know, even though we have to live in the material world, but we have to utilize it all for Krishna, then it's not actually material anymore. So it's spiritual. Okay. Any other? Ladies? Everybody satisfied? All right. I guess it's time to stop. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai. Shishi Gornitai ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.